going to call our second speaker to the stage. The second speaker is Aidan Senzange. Dr. Senzange holds a PhD in agricultural engineering, specializing in irrigation engineering from Colorado State University in the U.S., and is currently a senior lecturer in irrigation engineering at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa. His area of interest are in irrigation, agricultural water management, water resource management, and rural development. He has over 15 years of work in irrigation and related areas, both in academia and consultancy. Dr. Senzange.
Good morning, everybody. And thank you, Ms. Chairman, for that introduction. The interesting thing with these introductions is that they tell you, what I am. I see my lecture in the University of KwaZulu-Natal, but they never tell you who I am. And, in this sense, who I am is I'm a person who has got a deep rural background. My whole family, uncles and sisters, are what this kind of conference is always referring to as the smallholder farmers in rural sub-Saharan Africa. So that's basically who I am. So when I make this presentation, sometimes I get, go to my roots as opposed to, to the academic side of things. I just want to acknowledge the input of my co-author, Unati Kolanisi. She's from the African Center for Food Security at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. And basically, she's expert on food security. I'm much more on the, production side of things. Right. I think let me just start off again. When we were preparing this presentation, we thought, there's so much horror that comes out of South Africa, or there's so much horror that is talked about regarding South Africa. And if you Google anything on hunger in any part of Africa, you read these kind of statements, almost 30% of all hungry people are found in sub-Saharan Africa. If you look at the Horn of Africa, when we had that opening lecture on Tuesday night, hunger threat widens, deepens in Horn of Africa. You look at West Africa, you look at Central Africa, there are all these kind of problems. And if you look at our own Southern Africa, you hear hunger in Southern Africa can famine be, affected. So really, what you tend to get is that it's a sort of gloom and doom. So when we're presenting, when we're preparing this presentation, with my colleague, we said, let's try and see if we can present something that does not paint a picture of, gloom and doom, although it should be, factual. And I must say, the presentations from yesterday's sessions, especially from Dr. William Masters, I really liked it because, for a change, it painted a positive picture for Africa in general. But then, of course, we ask the question, are we really surprised? And, what is the truth, on the ground? And why do we have such kind of, food security problems in Africa? And the answers, as we know, there are many. And, varied, for example, the geopolitics, we've got war, we've got displacement, very little that you can do about it. Geophysical issues to do with what is so-called a poor resource base in land and water. And then, of course, I put a question mark because in other presentations you find that statements like Africa is richly endowed in resources like water and land, but here we have them as a poor resource base. We also have got natural calamities like floods and droughts and locusts in West Africa, which are all play havoc with food food production. Thirdly, we've got problems in production, and this I'm going to dwell on a little bit later on in my presentation. Suboptimal production by practices, and then low resilience and low adaptability to impacts that will be coming on our systems. Limited social capital, that's limiting the ability to adapt, and then, of course, issues of global economics that have been discussed. But again, it's easy to raise these kind of issues, but the point is, more importantly, what can we do or what can be done? And that is what I always find fascinating as an academic, because we seem to know what needs to be done, but time and again, we are caught unawares and we are caught, unprepared. We find ourselves with lots of food security problems. Now, my presentation is going to dwell on a few countries in Southern Africa. I mean, yesterday we had something about, you know, the Western Cape and, you know, South Africa, but I'm going to be dealing a little bit more on, you know, Southern Africa, looking at the production base, the politics, and the realities involved with that production base, and the implications of that on, you know, food security, you know, issues in, you know, Southern Africa. So the countries that I'm going to look at in general are going to include Namibia, South Africa, Lesotho, Swaziland, Botswana, Mozambique, Malawi, Zimbabwe, and Zambia. I'm not going to be including Tanzania. Tanzania basically is, you know, is East Africa. Now, if you look at this region in terms of the population base, you're looking at, you know, almost 120 million people, about 1.43 average, you know, population growth rate. Interestingly, the bulk of the population in this region is, you know, rural-based. And therefore, of course, once you deal with a rural-based, you know, kind of economy, you know, kind of, you know, community group, what you can do to uplift them becomes a bit, you know, problematic. The GDP of this whole region is, you know, almost like $240 billion, which is, you know, quite substantial. And the economies in this region, with the exception of South Africa and Botswana, are basically agro-based. What it means, if it's agro-based, that if there are any problems that affect agriculture, then of course the economies and the welfare of the, you know, countries, you know, then you know, run into, you know, some serious problems, especially things such as you know, food security. If you look at the, you know, again, this is just the basics of the, you know, population and so on. The contribution of the agriculture sector to the GDP for some countries is very high, like in Malawi, upwards of 30%. In Mozambique, you know, 23%. In South Africa, it's only 3% directly. But if you look at the forward and backward linkages and, you know, agro industries and processing and so on, it actually climbs up to about, you know, 15%. So that's the, you know, the sort of the background, the you know, the base that we're looking at. Now let's look at agricultural production in the region. Predominantly, the agricultural production in the region is, you know, rain-fed, and characteristically, the production levels are very low, somewhere in the region of, you know, half a ton per hectare, versus, you know, something like, you know, 3 to 5 tons for rain-fed, you know, cereals. Therefore, there is a need and there is a potential to boost the, you know, productivity of rain-fed agriculture in the, in the region. The implications, again, are that because it's rural-based, you know, communities, they are generally exposed to food security problems if agriculture underperforms, if rain-fed agriculture, you know, fails. When you look at irrigated agriculture, to be honest, it plays a limited role in most countries, again, with the exception of South Africa, because the percentage that, you know, is coming from irrigated agriculture is very limited. And you look at countries like Mozambique, where there's a huge unexploited potential in irrigated, you know, agriculture. So the implications, as we did the presentation yesterday from Mr. Patterson, is that, you know, basically, unless if you develop a bit more of irrigation, the food security problems are going to, you know, to persist. Now let's look at, you know, the cultivated land and then look at, you know, irrigated area. As I said, if you look at, you know, two countries, South Africa is literally exploiting 100% of their, you know, potential irrigable area, and another extreme country like Mozambique has only exploited, you know, 4%, which means really for a country like Mozambique, if food security is an issue, there is the potential to develop, you know, that, you know, large percentage of area that is still to be, you know, to be tapped. Now there's just two things that I want to mention here regarding the first column on cultivated area, and it's a bit of the politics of land in our part of the in our part of the world. I'll start off with Zimbabwe. Up to about 1999 or thereabouts, the kind of statements which you used to hear about land in Zimbabwe is that there are 4,500 commercial farmers controlling 1 million hectares of arable land compared to 2 million smallholder farmers controlling only 1 million hectares of land. And that became almost like a chant song, you know, almost like, you know, a war cry. And it resulted in the year 2000, what was called the agrarian reform and land resettlement program, you know, of Zimbabwe, where the Zimbabwe government embarked on a program of taking land from the large-scale commercial farmers and distributing it to the small older farmers. The interesting point here is, up to that particular point, Zimbabwe had been perpetually a food self-sufficient country. And then came in this process of land reform, land redistribution, and the way the process was undertaken, a bit chaotic. And at the end of the day, Zimbabwe came from being at the top of the pyramid in terms of food self-sufficiency to the bottom of the pyramid and became food insufficient. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is the interesting parallel that we get with South Africa. Right now in South Africa, we have about 30,000 large-scale commercial farmers, and literally these commercial farmers feed the rest of Southern Africa. But again, we're beginning to hear these chanting songs, this kind of again war cry that we need to take the land, we need to give the land to the people. Now, the only issue that I'm raising is, yes, you need to give land to the people, but please try and manage the process so that at the end of the day, you're not going to run into the same problems of food production like what you found in Zimbabwe. So that is the land base. Now let's look at water. Basically, the region is water stressed, and yesterday again we heard about water scarcity, physical water scarcity, South Africa and Botswana and Namibia, and then economic water scarcity countries like Mozambique and DRC. And then of course in all these countries, agriculture dominates in terms of water abstractions, and the implications are very simple. That with water stresses, this impacts on agriculture, which then impacts on food security. In South Africa, irrigation, for example, consumes 62% of all the water. In a country like Swaziland, upward of 95% of water goes to agriculture. And this is basically what this table is trying to show us. 97% in Swaziland, which means if the country is stressed for water, then of course agriculture suffers. And I think we've also seen this kind of reduction in terms of water requirements for food production, that we really need to increase the amount of water that is required for us to be able to meet our targets, like the 2015 MDGs, alleviating extreme poverty and hunger in the population by 2015 or whatever that is. The major agricultural products in this region, basically, we've got everything from beef. What I wanted to keep an eye on is the maize, because the maize is the staple food in the region. And basically, what happens is that if you can keep or if you can produce enough maize, theoretically speaking, you're not going to have any food security problems in the region. Now, let's look at food security in Southern Africa again very quickly. This has been mentioned. Surprisingly, interestingly, the food security outlook in Southern Africa is actually positive as you move from 2011 into 2012, as we see from those maps that come from FuseNet. But you still have some food security problems in the region. In some places, such as Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Zambia, Namibia, you've got problems of floods, you've got problems of droughts, skewed government policies. And an interesting statement is that Mozambique is rated the second country in the world most prone to natural disasters after a country like Haiti. In terms of the food security score, again, these are figures that you get from IFPRI and others. Southern Africa is three countries in the top 15 highest risk countries. And in terms of the global hunger index, countries like such as South Africa, you've got low to moderate. Then countries like Botswana, Lesotho, Malawi, serious, and then countries like Zimbabwe, Mozambique, alarming hunger problems. Then look at food production or food security in South Africa as a country. I think we had a bit of that yesterday. As I said, 30,000 commercial farmers basically said is the food needs of the country. Now, if you're going to be taking land from those 30,000 to distribute to other people, please make sure that the process is done in a manner that does not affect food production. In terms of the global hunger index, it's low to moderate, and even things like undernourishment is very low compared to the other countries. But you do get problems of food insecurity in the in the provinces, you know, because of localized problems of distribution and so on. And South Africa is going to have an interesting arrangement, what they call the integrated food security strategy, which basically tries to harmonize all food security programs and concentrate on you know, food production and trading, income opportunities, nutrition, and you know, food you know, safety. If you look at the information behind the numbers, actually 20% of South African households have got inadequate and severe inadequate access to food, and you know, only 14% of rural areas are food secure, and only 24% of urban areas are food secure. And the reason, I think, as we have seen now, to do the high you know, food prices and you know, the like. Again, lastly, in South Africa, it has got an interesting program called the Zero Hunger Program. My co-author, last week, Monday to Wednesday, she was in Pretoria attending a workshop with the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries on this you know, Zero Hunger you know, approach. It basically aims to reduce the sense of food insecurity by ensuring access to food, improving food production, improving nutrition security, developing market channels, and then you know, foster you know, partnerships. Now, the threats and risks to food security in Southern Africa are many and varied, and we're not going to go through you know, all of them. We'll only touch on a couple that I'm interested in, which is to do with climate change and suboptimal you know, agricultural water you know, production. Now, if you look at climate change, I think this is an old story, you know, we've heard enough about you know, climate change. But what is being modeled or predicted is increased incidence of climatic extremes like your droughts and your floods. And basically, food production is going to reduce by about 50% in the next you know, 70 years. And of course, our communities are going to be affected. And then in terms of agriculture production and economic activity, because the bulk of the agriculture is rain-fed, it becomes very sensitive you know, to any rainfall variabilities and deficits. Examples from Mozambique and you know, Zambia indicating how the GDPs are going to be affected you know, because of you know, less, you know, I mean, too much dependence on rainfall. And this coupled with you know, the low per capita land holding sizes really affects the farmer's ability to be able to do anything productive. So on this particular slide, all I'm trying to say is, whilst we talk about possible you know, interventions for smallholder farmers, if the smallholder farmer only holds 1 hectare of a piece of land, to be honest, there's very little that you can do. Whether they practice conservation agriculture, whether they do seed breeding, you do this and that, there's very little that you can do to get that guy out of you know, the poverty trap that they find themselves in, and consequently the problems of you know, food security. Thank you.